There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Welcome back to the show. Just gone 5 past 5 into the final hour of this afternoon's Grill Show. Myself, Chris McCarty, Mark Archer and Carl Van Roosevelt. The conversation just during that little news break there quickly turned to the new Premier League season. And it was you that asked the question, Carl. Boys, who's going to finish top four this season? And it's such a difficult one to give you an answer because there are so many teams spending big money. We're coming off the back of a World Cup as well, so expect injuries to take their toll. It's going to be a fascinating season. One thing we are all in agreement of, or certainly you and I are, Carl, I know, Archie, you'll sit on the fence and say one of the Manchester teams will win the Premier League. I am of the opinion that Liverpool are going to emerge as Manchester City's biggest candidates, and I know you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As much as it pains me to say that, hopefully I'll get a promotion because my boss is a big Liverpool supporter, but they're looking very good. I think Klopp's done a lot of good business in the off-season, and if you look at Klopp's track record, he normally does win the league in his third season, and I believe it is his third season at Liverpool. So yeah, I think, you know, as I said, the only thing that worries me about Liverpool is their away form. I think that's where City's a lot stronger, that they away from home. City do seem to be a bit more consistent there with Liverpool, but yeah, I think either between those two, one or two, I fancy Spurs would go three, and then, I'm hoping Man United four.
You think Man United will be hanging on to top four?
The reason why I'm saying so is I think it's vital to keep Eden Hazard happy at Chelsea. He's going to be there come the full season. Also, they got a new coach coming in. Arsenal have got a new coach coming in, so that's kind of why I think United got a little bit more stability. But I think Jose's got a long, long way to go if I just look at the warm-up games this season.
Oh, yes, indeed he does.
Can't believe you're writing off the special one.
Third season. And you know, it's the third season, Archie. History will show in the third season, more often than not, Jose Mourinho implodes. Let us see if that will be the case this season. But it all kicks off next Friday. I'm going to be, delighted to say, at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Leicester. That kicks off the new 2018-19 season. Before that, though, there is the small matter of the Community Shield at Wembley tomorrow evening. That one kicking off at 6 p.m. Manchester City, last season's Premier League champions, taking on the Emirates FA Cup winners, Chelsea. Don't want to read too much into that one, but looking forward to seeing how Chelsea new boss Maurizio Sarri matches up against Pep Guardiola. Huge respect between the both of them. Play football what we like to say the right way. It's pretty progressive, it's expansive, they'll get the ball down, they'll play attacking football. I think that'll be a good game tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, just depending, I think City might have a bit of a sluggish start to the season, if I could put it as such, because they've got a lot of players coming back from the World Cup. It will depend how the likes of De Bruyne have rested and the likes. But I still think Guardiola is a fantastic tactician. He's obviously a lot more experienced in the Premier League now. He knows what it takes to win it. And I think City will win tomorrow, to be perfectly honest with you. I think, you know, Chelsea, we know the challenges they had calling the dressing room last season. To me, they still had a good season. Yes, they didn't make the top four, but at least they had a bit of silverware. But I think it will take a while for them to kind of settle in, get used to the new coach, and I think City will get the season off to a good start tomorrow.
Chelsea are fascinating because we know there was issues behind the scenes last year.
Yeah.
And for me, they still don't look that settled. I know they've done some big moves and got a new manager coming in. Thibaut Courtois said he wants to leave. Yep. And they said, well, you're not going until we find a replacement goalkeeper. And having players that are in your squad and your team that aren't happy to be there. Same with Eden Hazard. He's pretty much come out and said, I'm going to leave. I want to go to Real Madrid. And they said, well, we're going to charge an extraordinary fee. It's not a good situation to be going into the season with. Willian, who's a world-class player, has been talked about leaving there for the last 12 months. Mm. Speculation whether he goes somewhere else. So they just seem to be they just don't seem to be a settled squad. We know behind the scenes Roman Abramovich has been talked about maybe trying to sell the club. He's had problems, political problems, economic problems, just being in London full stop. He's been looking maybe to move the club on. Maybe he's done his 12, 15 years. He's had enough. Now he needs to go and do something else. So they just look to be really unsettled as a club. Players don't know whether they're coming or going, and that can't be a good place to be just going into a season. But maybe it'll be pretty well. Maybe they'll find some togetherness in that sort of those issues.
Well, yeah, Maurizio Sarri, undoubtedly a fine, fine coach, new to the Premier League. He's got his issues, no doubt about that. Getting Eden Hazard back on his mind on the job. Interested to hear comments from Thibaut Courtois in the press over in the UK saying that he wants to move back to Madrid. He's got two young children over there, of course, 3-year spell spent with Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid, the team interested in signing Thibaut Courtois. Let us not forget, he's out of contract in 12 months' time. It is City against Chelsea tomorrow. Well, one of the other intriguing aspects of this match is it sees a player lining up for Chelsea who Manchester City and Pep Guardiola put an awful lot of effort into signing this summer. Jorginho, the Italian, Brazilian-born Italian international. Pep Guardiola has been talking about Jorginho in the build-up to this one and admitting he did want him and that the deal was very close.
Blow has come here when his manager wanted preferred to be in Chelsea. So nobody put a gun in his head to say, okay, you have to come, because I say no. So we tried. We believe it was so close. It was already, we thought it was done. But at the last turn, so he decided to go to Chelsea. Nothing to say. So he wanna, is quite similar from Alexis. So he decided to go to United. So nothing to say. Jorginho is a special player for the way we want to play, but the same, we're going to try to find. We have Douglas at the end of work permit disability. We have in Europe, of course, there are other players, but nine is finished the transfer window, so that's good, because we'll decide in 4 or 5 days, 6 days, and if not, we're going to stay with the players that we have. I want a player who likes to come to Manchester City, and he doesn't like to come. So maybe it was a little bit late to announce that, but when he decided don't come. Okay, good luck from Chelsea, and I think for English football we're going to discover an exceptional holding midfielder.
Classy, that from Pep Guardiola there, because disappointed that he wasn't able to sign Jorginho from Napoli. It was Chelsea, Maurizio Sarri, the relationship that Jorginho had built up with Sarri at Napoli, I guess as well. London, West London, nice place in the world to live as well. I always think that comes into the reckoning with some players as well. Certainly the wives, perhaps. London over Manchester, rainy, cold Manchester. No doubt he's a fine player, but I quite like what Guardiola said, quite refreshing there to say, we offered, we are not going to pay stupid money. We're not going to be held, you know, to ransom like Alexis Sanchez perhaps did in getting his move to Manchester United. We wanted the player. It's not worked out. We wish him well and we move on.
Yeah, very professional from Pep. And as you say, I like the way Pep says, we're not going to pay the big money. What did he play for? Real Madrid, 65 yeah. million or something. So, yeah, I think, you know, what else can he do? But I think to your point, Chris, I think it's definitely the relationship that he has got with the coach from Napoli. And that's obviously one of the reasons why he has gone to Chelsea this season. And as you say, behind the scenes, you never quite know what's happening with these negotiations. That, you know, they might have promised him a definite start at Chelsea, where they might have not offered him that at City. So, you know, it kind of just depends. But I think, yeah, nice words by Guardiola.
Looking forward to that match tomorrow, 6 p.m. We will keep an eye on it for you on this very station, Dubai 103.8. We will be live with Sports Tonight from 7 p.m. Just one other transfer news to bring you, not from the Premier League, but over in Spain. And be very interested to hear from any Barcelona fans tuning in this afternoon, because Barcelona have reached an agreement with Bayern Munich to sign the Chilean international midfielder Arturo Vidal. That's off the back of a 3-year contract as well from Bayern Munich. As I say, he will be in Barcelona in the next few days to undergo a medical before completing his move. Now, I've seen an awful lot of Barcelona fans on social media up in arms a little bit over this signing, given the fact that Arturo Vidal is 31 years of age. They were very much of the opinion that they should be looking at younger players, players that perhaps are more in keeping with the style of football that Barcelona play. But Arturo Vidal won numerous titles with Juventus. He joined Bayern back in 2015. He's won the Bundesliga in each of his 3 seasons that he spent at the Allianz Arena. He brings incredible experience to that midfield. Of course, missing now Andreas Iniesta. A little different to what Barcelona have got, but given the fact they've also lost Paulinho, I think Arturo Vidal will be a very, very good acquisition for that football club. And of course, a lot of pressure on Barcelona this season, because it's Real Madrid with back-to-back-to-back Champions League titles, 3 in a row. All of a sudden for Messi, for Valverde the coach, Barca need a vintage year coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't agree with you more. To me, this is a bit of a surprise signing, Chris. He is a quality player. Let's make no mistake about that. But I thought that Barca would have looked for somebody a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, most probably the way these footballers look after themselves nowadays, it seems like they can go forever and ever. But I think most probably the wrong side of 30. But I think the thinking of Barcelona is most probably looking for somebody with experience that can kind of bring that stability that Iniesta did bring to that midfield. And, you know, that's the reason why they have gone with him. Quite surprised that they gave him a 3-year deal. But I guess that's what they had to give the player some security, you know, to come over to Barca. I think a fantastic move for him. We know how good he was for Juventus. And I think the big thing with that era that he was in Bayern Munich was probably they missing the Champions League from the resume, if you can put it as such. But I think he'll be good for Barcelona.
Massively experienced, over 100 caps for Chile. He's won the Copa America, won those titles with Juve. It's just sometimes you need experience and leadership in the middle of the park, and that's what they had for so many years with Andreas Iniesta. And this is a guy who's almost like for like, as you say, different player. He's a much more physical, sort of aggressive, challenging. And maybe that's what Barcelona need. Maybe they have decided in Europe, for example, when they need to go to plan B, and they haven't got plan B to really mix it up with some teams who want to take the physical approach, he may act as a bit of a minder, a bit of a protector of Lionel Messi in the centre of the park there. You know, as they do in ice hockey at times, they send someone in just to keep an eye on the little man. If he's getting kicked, he might get, you know. So you can see why that gives themselves a bit of versatility with the way they want to play football. And, you know, probably a smart move.
Yeah, Arturo Vidal expecting in Barcelona deal will be done in the next couple of days. And I'm conscious as well, we're into Saturday, August the 4th. The deadline closes 5 p.m. UK time. This for the English Premier League teams on Thursday. So we've only got 5-6 days left for the teams to get deals done. We're expecting a couple of monster deals. I still expect Manchester United to sign one at the very least, if not two. I think City are in the market for a midfielder, as Pep Guardiola we just heard from. So business is still to be done. I just wonder if there will be one big move, and you said this, and I think you were right to point this out during the week, Archie, one big move that just, like the domino effect, kickstarts an awful lot of expenditure.
Triggers a few domino effect. And it'll be interesting to see whether Daniel Levy, the Spurs
Chairman
is back from his holiday, because he's been on holiday for 3 months and obviously turned his Wi-Fi off. He's got no idea. So he might come back and try and do some business in the last week of the season. But yeah, another question there. Spurs fans, 4001, text us. Are you going to sign anyone in the off-season?
Have to, right?
Being the guru that you are, Chris McCarty, what do you reckon we can expect come final day of transfer? What's going to be the big bomb?
Who is that big move? Who's going to make a play?
Manchester United will. Now, I know Harry Maguire has been linked. Yerry Mina, the Colombian, is linked. I'm still of the opinion, speaking to people in the know, I still think Manchester United will sign Toby Alderweireld from Spurs. I think that deal will be done. I see him. He is the one.
Of those three players, who would you take?
It would be Alderweireld for me.
Ahead of Mina?
Ahead of Mina.
And ahead of Maguire.
And ahead of Maguire. As good as, listen, I'm a fan of Maguire. Mina, I think we're just getting on the bandwagon because he's got a few headers over at the World Cup. If you look at his stats last season, I think he played 7 games for Barca. He didn't look anything. Is he better than what United have got? I don't think he is. Toby Alderweireld, though, is a class act, known to the Premier League, hugely experienced, gives them flexibility, capable of playing in a back three, which, reading between the lines, I've got a feeling that Manchester United might go to a back three for the most part in this season and pair Sanchez up front with Lukaku and work Sanchez off of Lukaku. So if it is a back three, Alderweireld plays it for Belgium, has played it for Spurs, played it for Ajax as well, right-hand side of a back three with Baye and probably Lindelof. I think Lindelof's going to get a run under Mourinho this season. So Alderweireld, look out for that one. I do think Courtois will leave ultimately before the deadline closes. I think Real Madrid will be successful on that front. Eden Hazard, I think, will stay, despite the fact that clubs, obviously Real Madrid being chief among them, would be keen on him. In terms of the big deal that we're still waiting for, I think City will come with a big deal. For who, I'm not sure, but they will bring in a midfielder. Manchester United, I think there are two players missing. I think United need a defender, undoubtedly. I still think they need someone in the final third. Jesse Lingard, Marcus Rashford. Still question marks for me over their consistency. They're looking for someone that can win games, not on their own, but can create and be a scourge for teams week after week. And whether they've got that right now, I'm not quite sure. 4001, let us know your thoughts, any transfers that you are predicting to happen between now and the 9th. Of course, for La Liga, for Italy, they've got all the way through until the end of the month to get their deals done. Ronaldo, Cristiano, undoubtedly the biggest of those that has already been done, that £100 million move to Juventus. But if you've got an inside track on any players or have any feeling, inkling, then do let us know on 4001. It's going to be a busy 5 days. I can tell you as well, just very quickly, before we head to another little break, we will be back to discuss all things cricket. In that early game in League One, it is Sunderland against Charlton. I can tell you Sunderland are back in this one. It's one apiece. It was Josh Meyer with the goal for Sunderland. This, the opening match, League One of the new 2018-19 English football season. Sunderland 1, Charlton 1. When we come back, we'll talk cricket again. We're hearing the thoughts of Joe Root, Virat Kohli, and England's star man of this test series anyway thus far, Sam Curran. All of that to come when we come back.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Just fast approaching 25 past 5 on your Saturday afternoon. Big thanks to each and every one of you tuning in this afternoon, keeping you abreast of what is going on across the sporting world. We will be talking a little bit more on the new football season that is almost upon us, certainly from a Premier League standpoint, as we go this evening. We are with you through until 6 o'clock. I want to take us back, though, to the big news of the day from a cricketing standpoint, and that is that England are off and running. They have defeated India by 31 runs in the opening test over at Edgbaston, all done and dusted before lunch on day 4. Great victory that, Mark Archer. And from now we head over to, is it not the Oval, it's Lords.
It's Lords, yeah. The second test match again underway later in the week. And a great victory earlier today, wrapped up by Ben Stokes, who took 4 for 40 in the Indian second innings, including 3 key wickets today. The big man himself, Virat Kohli, LBW Stokes for 51. That really was the blow that really put India to the sword, because they started the day at 110 for 5 with a pretty strong chance. I think they were slightly in the driver's seat with Virat Kohli, a chance to win the test match. Always great when you go into a test match and both teams have the chance to win on the final day, as it was today on day 4. So it's been a riveting test match, lots of ebbs and flows. It was England winning their 1,000th test match. Great performance by them. Also, a mention to the man of the match, young Sam Curran, the 21-year-old from Surrey. He is your man of the match. So how can India fight back? They need to score some more runs, particularly at the top order in that second test match. Can they protect Virat Kohli and give him a chance to go on and score more runs? So England have won the first test match by 31 runs. They lead the five-match series 1-0.
Let's get the thoughts now then of the winning skipper, Joe Root. A little bit of pressure, as we were talking earlier in the week, on Joe Root, given the disappointing results that England have picked up, certainly in the Test arena, since he took over the captaincy. But as you can imagine, delighted with his side's efforts.
Fantastic team performance. You know, there's been ups and downs throughout, but you know, credit has to go to both bowling sides more than anything. I think the easy thing to do is criticise the batters, but it was obviously a very challenging pitch to take as many wickets as has gone down over the course of 3 and a bit days. There's obviously a bit there for the bowlers. Saying that, you've still got to deliver. And coming into today, we knew it was going to be a stiff task, but ask the guys to go out and play with some passion, show some belief. And if we stayed calm throughout that, then you know, we'd give ourselves the best chance, and that's exactly what's happened.
Did you stay calm?
I felt quite calm. I might not have appeared to be. It's something to work on. But yeah, you know, it's that sort of atmosphere is what it's about, and that's what makes Test cricket so brilliant, is it can throw so many different things at you in the course of 3 or 4 days, and you have to really think your way around it, stay strong as a group, keep believing in one another, and you know, special things can happen just like today.
When you got Virat out, did you think you'd won it?
No, I knew there's still a lot of hard work to do. I think the temptation then is to chase the game, and I think we were really good actually in staying quite calm, trusting the stuff that had worked for us previous, and making sure that you know, we didn't get ahead of ourselves. So, as I said, really proud of the group. You know, some great cricket within the 3 and a bit days from both sides, and I'm sure made for a fantastic watch.
To win such a close game, how does that stand the team moving forward?
Obviously, it fills you a lot of confidence. You know, it's a great start for us in this series. We know there's a lot of hard work for us to do going into the next game and beyond, but you know, that's got to give the guys a hell of a lot. And I think it just shows that there's so much more than just skill and runs and wickets when it comes to Test cricket. You've got to have a little bit more and some sort of inner belief and steeliness, which I see a lot of in our dressing room, and that carries a lot of weight when it really matters at this level. So it's a great sign for us, and hopefully we can, you know, can use that going forward.
What about Sam Curran, 20 years old, second test match, and he's done that for you?
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant game. You know, huge amount of skill. Didn't seem to feel any sort of pressure there with the bat as well. And seems to just love the occasion, love playing test cricket. And he's great to have within the side. It's like having two Ben Stokes, which is a great thing. But obviously, two tests in, very easy to get carried away, but a very exciting, promising cricketer.
Well, you got the upper hand in this test, but you go to Lords, you're going to have to change the side. How are you going to juggle that around?
Yeah, it'd be easy to make an emotional decision right now. I think we've got to sit down, selection group, and make sure that we, you know, we think things through clearly, and pick a squad that will suit that surface.
Yeah, the thoughts there of England skipper Joe Root. That's after England's 31-run victory in that opening test match with India. You heard there from Joe Root, delighted for young 20-year-old Sam Curran. 5 wickets in the match, a 63 as well, a vital 63 in that second innings. He's also been speaking and his delight about getting off the mark.
You can't stop smiling, can you?
Look at it, I can't take it all in. It's all pretty special. It feels like I'm dreaming, but I'm sure I'll sleep well tonight because I didn't get any sleep last night.
Stressful morning?
Yeah, I think obviously when Jimmy took that first one of Kartik up first up and obviously gave us a bit more confidence, but whilst Kohli was there, I was obviously still going to be nervous. And then luckily for Stokes, he got an awesome spell this morning and turned the game around.
So young, in a pressure situation like it was today, can you think clearly?
I just try to take like another game, but it is quite hard when there's the Barmy Army's chanting down there, and obviously you've got world-class players on show, and I'm just in my second game trying to learn my way, but no, it's all pretty awesome. I'm just trying to take it all in.
With the bat, you counter-attacked at the end. How did you plan that? How did you go about your innings?
To be honest, I probably tried to learn a bit from Virat in the first innings where he batted to the tail, but chatted with Kumar in the hotel the other day, and he told me a few things away back to the tail, but nah. It was one of those days where a few came out the middle and I was lucky enough to get a few runs.
Lots of domestic T20 contracts flying around, but your man of the match in your second test match here at Edgbaston, you just beat in India. You wouldn't swap that for the world, would you?
No, not at all. I think it's what I've dreamt of growing up the whole time, is play test cricket in front of these big crowds and with all these players I've seen growing up, and obviously to see Jimmy going about it, Brodie, Stokesy and all the top class batters we've got on our side as well. It's all pretty special, and I'm just trying to learn everything every day.
Sam Curran speaking there. You might have heard Mark Archer saying another South African. You would be hard pressed. It does sound a little like Kevin Peterson does young Sam Curran when he's talking there. It is another player brought up in South Africa. Was that this?
To be fair, as I said earlier in the show, his dad was Kevin Curran, who was a Zimbabwean cricketer but played a lot of county cricket for Northampton. So Sam and his brother Tom were also born actually in Northampton. So he's born in the UK, but then he did move back and live in Zimbabwe and in South Africa for a number of years. He represented Zimbabwe under 13s, but then he moved across on sort of a schoolboy scholarship to Wellington College, which is a strong rugby and cricketing school in the UK. And he's been there long enough. Look, he's played from 14 years old, he's been in the UK. So I think we'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. But a slight little African twang to his accent.
Absolutely. It's most of the...
He'll fit in well with the dressing room.
I was going to say, it's most of the England cricket team has got more than a little South African flavour and African flavour to it. But what a young man. What a talented young man. And for him to speak as eloquently as he did as well, he's someone that they can build a future in. Because as we've said all week long, Jimmy Anderson's 35 now. He's not got much innings left in him. Someone like Sam Curran could well be worth his weight in gold for England moving forward.
I can't believe this kid's 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, the way he conducts himself, the way he speaks, and I definitely think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him, Chris. And you know, you said at the end of the day, if you look at this test series, you can look at it from a lot of different angles. But I mean, what's it? He's 63 or
63.
63 that he made. I kind of think he's the difference between the two teams here. And you know, I think the big thing with a guy like this is, to me, especially these players that are so talented at such a young age, they just need to be managed properly. You know, you don't want him to running into any incidents like the Stokes Eden incident or anything like that. He just needs to keep his head down now and focus, because he's a bright, bright talent.
He certainly is. When we come back, we're going to hear the thoughts of Virat Kohli. Disappointing, as you can imagine. India thought they were in with a real chance, or they certainly were in with a real chance. 194 they needed in that second innings. They fell 31 runs short. We will hear from Virat Kohli when we come back. Stay tuned.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We will hear from Virat Kohli, the beaten Indian captain, in just a moment. Before that, though, let me give you a full-time result in League One. Yes, League One, that is, over in English football. The Championship, League One, League Two, all kicking off today. Competitive action has begun in earnest, and what I can tell you is it's a big victory, this. And the reason I say it's a big victory, it has been doom and gloom for the past couple of years surrounding Sunderland Football Club, now into the third tier of English football, a huge club up in the northeast of England. They were 1-0 1-0 down in their opening match of the season against Charlton Athletic at home at the Stadium of Light. But late goals, Josh Meyer levelled things up after 65 minutes. And then it's the youngster, homegrown as well, Lyndon Gooch, with a winning goal for Sunderland. Jack Ross, the Scotsman who led St Mirren from the Championship up to the Scottish Premiership last season. He left St Mirren, he's headed on down to Sunderland. He has started with a victory and a good one at that. Sunderland 2, Charlton Athletic 1. So Sunderland are off and running. Keep an eye on them this season. They may make an immediate return back to the Championship. Now then, we are talking all things cricket. Victory a little earlier today for England. 31-run victory over India. Ben Stokes, the hero of the day, really. Sam Curran, the man of the match. We heard from him and Joe Root before the break. Let us now get the thoughts of India captain Virat Kohli. He made 149 in the first innings. He made 51 in the second innings, and yet he's still on the losing side. Here's what Virat had to say.
I think it was a great game of cricket. Great for everyone watching in the stadium and on televisions as well. So glad to be a part of such an exciting test match. You know, there were a couple of times where we made comebacks into the game, and I thought that we showed character there. But a team like England will not let you do that every day of a test match, and we realized that on the final day. They were relentless in the areas that they hit, and they made us work hard for those runs. Definitely could have applied ourselves better, but I'm still proud of the fight that we showed and set up the series really nicely, I guess. It's going to be exciting for people to watch and you know, just enjoy test cricket over the next few weeks.
What have you just said to your team in there?
Well, nothing. We haven't had a chance to speak yet, but the chat's going to be around, take out the positives, show more character. We definitely need to apply ourselves more with the bat. I think the bowlers were outstanding in the second innings. They responded really well. Again, a great show by England to come back into the game and show resilience. But we can be proud as a team to start like that in a big series against England in England, and hopefully build on that from here.
I know you're always looking to challenge your players and improve. What do you need to improve for Lords?
Well, as I said, application. I mean, there's a lot to learn from the lower order as well. First innings, Ishant and Umesh getting stuck in there. Again, Ishant showed character here. Umesh got stuck in with Hardik. So, you know, those kind of things make you feel like, as top order batsmen, we need to apply ourselves better also. And just look at ourselves in the mirror. You know, there's no hiding from this game. You know, you've got to step on the field. Whatever you're feeling inside, it'll come out in no time. So, yeah, we just got to be positive, fearless. As I said, enjoy our cricket and try to take the negatives out of the equation. Look at the positives and build on those.
Of all the 100 you've scored, how does that first innings one rate?
Well, from the team's point of view, I think it was right up there. Second best probably to Adelaide second innings, but yeah, it was one that I will fondly remember. If we had won, it would have been number one. But yeah, it was hard work. And when you're able to take your team close to the first innings total of a home side, it always feels good. We thought we could build on that. The target was in sight. We needed one more partnership to pull us through, which didn't happen. So I'm not really thinking about the first innings right now. You know, just thinking about how we're gonna group ourselves together and come back strong in the next test.
More test matches like that. Test match cricket's okay, isn't it?
It's lovely. It's the favourite format for me. It's the best format in cricket, and we absolutely love playing test cricket. People watching it as well should also love it equally. They understand the game. And there's nothing better than testing yourself out through the course of 5 days against top quality oppositions. And I'm sure every player playing test cricket will vouch for that as well.
Virat Kohli speaking there. I do apologise for the little static that you heard in that microphone. Nothing that we can do about that. But Virat Kohli, again, what a class act. And I know I've been a naysayer of Virat, or certainly I have been in terms of his younger days. He was a bit brash, he was a bit arrogant. All of that's changed now. He really is a custodian for Indian cricket. Spoke very, very humbly there. You know, he said best team won. It's a great, great test match to be involved in, and they'll go away, they'll work on their weaknesses, and they'll come back a much better team for that second test. He's a class act.
Yeah, two actual class speeches today by losing captains and matches. Earlier today, Warren Whiteley also came across very well received in losing the Super Rugby final. Talked about the people in the town, about how they'd had a good 3 or 4 days there, and thanked them for coming to the final. So class act to thank the team and the host of where they was going. And the same with Virat Kohli coming out and saying, look, we weren't far away, but we just need to be a bit better the next match, and giving credit where credit was due. So nice to see a bit of class by losers, unlike what we saw with DeChambeau last week, didn't we?
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau.
That was much talked about. But Kohli there, they'll bounce back. This is going to be a close series. You take out, you know, there was key performances there. You talked about Sam Curran doing what he did. You take about Virat Kohli. If it just doesn't quite go, you know, their way, it's going to be a very – I think both teams are really well matched. And It's fine margins in Test cricket. The Thursday at Lord's second Test match gets underway. Looks like no Ben Stokes for England. How do they deal with that? Well, let's wait and see. But I expect India to bounce back pretty strong in the second Test match.
I think one thing that you would say in terms of what India need to do, and over the course of the next 4 days or so, they'll be looking at how they performed, and each, I'm sure, Virat Kohli will be asking for an honest appraisal from each of his men. One area, and I know you've touched on it already, Archie, top order batting is an area that needs to be looked at for India. There were question marks of that coming into us. The likes of Murali Vijay, Shikhar Dhawan, KL Rahul, Pujara, of course, kept out the team by Rahul. I wonder if they might look at changing that up. But undoubtedly, those top order batsmen need to perform that little bit better to give Virat more of a platform so that when he comes in, those shoulders can go back and he can take this match away from England.
Yeah, Chris, very valid point. I think at the moment he's coming in too early. You know, we've seen this and all the pressure's kind of back on him. Not that he cannot take the pressure. I mean, we've seen what he can do. But I think, yeah, that's one improvement that India will be looking to make when they get down to Lord's. I think also, you know, that they've played the first test. They're surely a little bit more used to the English conditions now, kind of expect, you know, what's going to happen, got a little bit more used to the bowlers. So I'm expecting a much better performance from them in the second test. But I think that's key for India, as you say. If they're wanting to get the result going their way in the second test, they definitely, definitely need a better contribution from the opening batsmen.
What can we expect from Lord's, Archie? I know it's been a hot, dry summer over there in the UK. Will Lord's play, it will of course play different to Edgbaston, but will it still be a seamer's paradise?
There's always a few different factors. It tends to be a better batting wicket at Lord's, quite flat. Once batsmen get in, they can get big scores. They've got the slope to contend with, so there's a massive slope on the ground from left to right from the pavilion end. That takes a while. If you haven't played there before, the ball does move down the slope, so the England players will be used to that. There'll be a few Indian players that have got to deal with that ball that just moves off the slope. This time of year, it's been a dry, so you expect spin is going to play a part. Can Adil Rashid come into the game? We know how good Ravi Ashwin is. A key thing here will be the toss. If India can win the toss, bat first, get a score on the board, then they can apply some pressure on England. If England get the runs up early, then the pressure is going to go back to India. So toss will be important at Lord's. It's a bat-first pitch usually. You deal with the first couple of sessions and then you really get sit in and get a big score. But, the Indian top order. If you look at the two scores, Chris, in their innings, India in their first innings, 274, which Virat Kohli scored 149 of. And out of the second innings total of when they were dismissed, he scored a half century. They need to rely less on Virat Kohli. The top order batsmen have to get in and have to score runs. That takes the pressure off Kohli and gives their bowlers something to bowl at. So lots of room for improvement from both teams, but plenty to play for. If it's half as good a Test match as the first one was, room for a treat.
Interesting little text this. Not a Virat Kohli fan from this individual. No name on this one. Easy to act humble for an interview. On the field, he is still arrogant and childish. Let's not kid ourselves. So not a Virat Kohli fan out there. What you may say, arrogance can sometimes be misconstrued as confidence, and no doubt about it, he's got an awful lot to be confident about, Virat Kohli, on his day, right now, in fact, not even on his day, just right now, with Steve Smith obviously exiled from international cricket due to well-documented issues, the ball tampering scandal down in South Africa. There's no better player in world cricket right now than Virat Kohli.
No, and look, you know, at times he's arrogant, but what top sportsmen in the world sometimes aren't. And he backs it up with performance. He's not all talk and then doesn't show up when the game's on. He shows up and he performs. And it gives him a bit of a right to say some things a bit more outrageous and be the person that he is. But, yeah, I think he's grown up a lot. I think since he's been the Indian captain, he's matured quite a lot on how he behaves, how he handles himself. So I don't tend to agree there with the text 100%. But I can see we had the drop the mic situation, didn't we? And
that was fun.
Yeah, it was a bit of banter. And you need to have rivalry. You need to have these sportsmen are emotional. You need to have that little bit of edge about you at times to drive the best of performance. It's like saying, well, is Cristiano Ronaldo arrogant? Of course he is. That's why he's the best football player in the world.
Absolutely.
Is LeBron James, does he strut around at times? Of course he does. He's the best basketballer in the world. Tiger Woods, when he was in his pomp. So you need to have a lot of belief.
Roger Federer, let's be honest about it. Roger's got a bit of arrogance, but it's je ne sais quoi, call it what you will about him. He's Mr. Cool. He's the Swiss maestro.
Quietly confident, Chris.
Indeed. Are you expecting big things from him? The US Open, just on tennis, and I'm conscious we haven't really discussed tennis this afternoon. US Open, few weeks away. The big story, I guess, from a tennis point of view, over the past couple of days, we saw Andy Murray taken to 3 hours in that Washington Open, taken to 3 a.m. in tears at the end of his victory, an emotional victory for Andy Murray. I think there's maybe more to it than just that. And then very quickly, announcement, pulling out. He reached the semi-final, pulling out of the rest of that tournament, and then announcing that he's also to sit out Rogers Cup. So still mindful that that hip injury, as serious as it was, I just wonder if it's maybe taking a little time to ensure that he is 100% fit.
Which is very, very sad to see. I mean, you know, we were all hoping that Murray, that's been out for so long, you know, would come back strong, but clearly he's still having problems. Chris, saying that, though, I think the US Open, Novak Djokovic has got to be going in as a favourite. I mean, you know, his display at Wimbledon and even before Wimbledon, he seems to be getting back to his best. But I think if you have to go look at Federer's form, I don't think Federer had a bad Wimbledon. I honestly think he's got himself to blame. I honestly believe that he could have quite easily been in that final. You know, he had a match point against Kevin Anderson, and then I don't know, some other game just slipped away from him. So, you know, he'd be back in the States now practicing on the hard courts. I definitely think he will be a contender going into the US Open to get into that final. But saying that, I think Djokovic is going as the favourite at this moment in time.
I tend to agree with that as well. Huge confidence for Novak Djokovic coming off the back of that victory over Rafa in the semi-final and then doing what he did. We all expected, or certainly I expected him to do exactly what he did to Kevin Anderson in that final, and that was to sweep past Kevin Anderson, a South African, of course, one of your own, Carl, but he was just too good on that day, and the confidence. And I mentioned this, I think, after he won this 2011, he had that incredible year. He backed that up in 2015, where he held all four Grand Slam titles. I wonder if this is the third coming of Novak Djokovic. His home life seems settled once again. He seems over the elbow injury that curtailed his 2017. And I look at Novak and think US Open, undoubtedly 2019 could be another masterful year for the Serb.
To me, there's been one defining moment, if you want to call it, at his comeback. And I think that beating Rafael Nadal in the semi-final, to me, I think that's one of the best games I've ever seen Novak Djokovic play. He was unbelievable. Yeah. And I think if he had lost that game, I don't think he would mentally have that confidence that he's needing now. But he just seems to be, call it that little bit of arrogance or inner arrogance that he's got now, but he seems that he's believing that he's unbeatable, like he was when he held all four Grand Slams at the same time. So I think, you know, with that confidence and the way he's playing at the moment, going into the US Open, he's going to be very, very tough to beat.
Absolutely is. Roger Federer out of the Rogers Cup. He has said, though, he will play Cincinnati. That is the final event before the US Open over in New York, Flushing Meadows. Have either of you two ever had the pleasure, Flushing Meadows?
Unfortunately not.
I haven't been Flushing Meadows, no.
No, that's a surprise. You've done most.
I've done most.
Have you done Wimbledon?
I've done Wimbledon a few times.
Roland Garros?
Haven't done Roland Garros.
Australian Open?
I've been to the tennis courts, but not during the Australian Open. I've got to admit, I'm not a massive... I put my hand up here. This might be controversial. I find tennis quite boring to watch.
That is controversial. Live, you've kept that quiet for years.
I've been to Wimbledon a lot. We used to have debenture tickets on Centre Court and Court 1 when I was working in the UK in London. So I had the ability to go a lot. I'll hold my hands up. I find tennis live and on TV, I actually find it quite boring. I like to play it, but I do
you've
find
kept that
watching
quiet,
it.
Arch.
No, I just
what's wrong with you?
I like big power. I like guys going in and just banging aces down. I find that more exciting because I get the game over. I can go and have some fun and have some strawberries and cream.
You enjoy watching golf though, right?
I'd much rather watch good golf than good tennis.
Oof, that is controversial. I'll ask you that.
That's just me.
Correct.
This is a personal
preference.
Yeah, of
course it is. You, golf or tennis?
It depends who's playing tennis. But if I'd have to go, I think I'd rather watch a Federer Nadal final than Rory and Tiger battling. It's a very tough one because I'm a massive, massive golf fan too, but I don't find tennis boring at all. I think it's especially in a big tournament, I think it's fantastic to watch.
I don't want to put words in this individual's mouth, but I'm sure I've asked this question to Robbie Greenfield before. A Tiger Rory or a Tiger Phil down the back nine on a Sunday, or a Roger Nadal final, wherever it is, and I'm pretty sure, and again, I'll need to WhatsApp him now to confirm this, pretty sure he said the tennis. The theatre of Nadal, Federer.
It would have been if Pete Sampras was playing in that game, because he still believes Pete Sampras is the greatest tennis player of all time.
Yes, times. He does. So, yes, he does.
That's Robbie Greenwood for you.
Yeah. 4001. It's an interesting. You've kept that quiet, Archie. I did not know that you were a naysayer when it comes.
I'm not saying I'm a naysayer. I'm just saying. And look, I love sport. I'll turn up for a dominoes match. But I've been to Wimbledon and I've watched Grand Slam tennis. I just find tennis a little bit boring. Controversial as that is, and I've watched plenty of tennis. If there's a big tennis match on TV, I don't find myself rushing to find a TV to watch it. Unless it's the Wimbledon final with a Rafa or Grand Slam final. I'll watch a Grand Slam final, but that's probably the only tennis matches I'll watch in a year that I'll rush to find a TV.
Okay.
Whereas with golf, I want to watch the Masters. I want to watch the Open Championship. I want to tune in and see what's going on. So that's how I'd compare my – I would probably rather go to – and I've been to – I would rather go to an Open Championship than Wimbledon. I would rather go to a Masters than the US Open tennis. So that's a personal preference.
Absolutely.
Thing.
No, it's all right. You don't have to tell us that. I can see that it's a preferential thing. Let us know your thoughts. 4001, golf or tennis? It's just an arbitrary little discussion point at 10 to 6 on a Saturday afternoon. When we come back, we're wrapping up proceedings here. We are looking ahead to the championship season. The big boys get underway in 10 minutes' time. English football is back. Scottish football is back as well. Celtic, the champions, are in action. You're listening to The Grill. Chris, Carl and Mark, we're with you for the next 10 minutes or so. Stay tuned.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Mark Archer is coming in from dogs abuse, not just on the text lines, but from our tech ops team as well. Benji and Isa have just stormed into this room to tell him off for his naysaying. And it's not so much naysaying, it's a personal preference. He just would rather golf over tennis, each to their own, and all of that. I myself would much rather tune in to a Rafa Roger at Wimbledon than any other, mate. Maybe the Masters. Masters Sunday
is special.
I tell you what,
the Masters golf event, if you ever go to any sporting event, it's for me, it's a top three.
Top three bucket list.
It's phenomenal. And I've been twice. It's phenomenal. The Masters is, it's not much that beats the Masters that I've been to. I went to the World Cup final a couple weeks ago. The Masters is better than the World Cup final. Done. Dusted.
Interesting. Yeah, but again, I think World Cup final, depends if your nation is in that final. I mean, I would much rather go to a World Cup final.
Well, my nation's not playing in the Masters, but I'd rather still go to the Masters than the World Cup final.
Yeah, okay, fair. You, Masters or a World Cup final?
I'd just rather go to a Boston Bruins game. I haven't been to the Masters, so I can't say, but I've also heard that out of events to go to, a lot of people put it in their top five events to go to, because it's so well organised, the atmosphere, the tradition, the history, you know, going up Magnolia Lane, everything else that goes with it. I think it's a fantastic event.
You've done a Super Bowl as well?
I've worked at the Super Bowl sideline.
I'd rather
go to the Masters.
Than a Super... No, come on.
Super Bowl was different because I was working. But in a very nice way. Masters, still.
Okay, wow. Super Bowl, I'd love. There's so much on my bucket list. I've been very privileged to have done an awful lot of great things in sport, but there's still so many things I haven't done. The other big thing that I would love to do is watch an Indian cricket match in Eden Gardens, for example. Head on over and watch India, whether it's the Test Arena, watch a big ODI match. I'd love to go to an India-Pakistan match. In fact, I'll be doing just that September 19th down the road in Dubai. We're expecting India to take on Pakistan in that Asia Cup match. That's definitely a thing to do. The Masters, undoubtedly. Wimbledon would be in there. Super Bowl. Love to do an NBA match. Never done an NBA match.
Fantastic.
I know you did.
I'd highly recommend it.
The Celtics recently?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I would recommend somebody to go watch ice hockey too, even if you're not a big hockey fan.
Ice hockey's great life.
Fantastic.
I enjoyed baseball as well. Going over to the Yankee Stadium to watch the Yankees. I mean, baseball, not my first sport, would be pretty far down the list. But in terms of a spectacle, sitting there with your beverage and your hot dog, great, great, real, real good experience.
Gives you the whole or background to the whole American culture.
Absolutely
type of thing.
It does. It massively does. And looking forward to a Rugby World Cup final as well. That's another one to do. You've done, how many of those have you done?
I've been to the last two finals, 2011, 20 whatever it was, 2015. But I've been to plenty of other matches. I went to the one that Australia won, which was 1999. I was at that final.
Nice. 2003.
Chris, me and you were still at school then, mate. We could go to the final.
2003 final was in Australia, and I was in the US working, so I didn't attend that. But 1999, I went to a lot of the matches as well.
Where was 1999 held?
England.
The final was in Cardiff, Millennium Stadium. That was when France beat the All Blacks in that semi-final. We talked about that during the week.
Who is this man? Golf over tennis and World Cup. Banish him from this show. Love that. Thank you very much for that. 294. Mark Archer, you're out of a job. The listeners have spoken. I love it. Golf over tennis and World Cup. That is a bold statement. The Masters, though, in fairness, I have heard from an awful lot of people that is just a once in a lifetime to do. Is it easy enough to get tickets?
No.
Or it's nigh on impossible?
Yes. You either pay a lot of money or it's free. Okay. The way it works in the industry, you either know someone that's got a ticket or you're going to spend big bucks. But it is phenomenal. I'm sneakily trying to, hopefully the missus isn't listening, trying to sneak a trip back next year to the Masters.
Yeah.
Okay. It is good. What's the one sporting event? You name it. Olympics, World Cup, you'd want to watch. And you can even name the team playing in it.
The current one for me, the top of my list, I mean, the Masters, in fairness, does feature quite highly. The one that I've got an itch that needs to be scratched is the Super Bowl. I need to do a Super Bowl. That's my big thing. I want to experience the Super Bowl. It's the biggest show on earth, probably the biggest show in the US for that day. But yeah, to experience everything that goes around the Super Bowl.
And to be fair, Super Bowl is not the game. It's actually Super Bowl week. Yeah. It's about a 3-day. You need 3 days there. It's always Super Bowl Sunday, but you probably need to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes. It's a 3-day sort of
I'm probably fixture. There Monday as well, just to ensure that I've recovered before I come home as well from the action. So yeah, that would be right up there for you, Carl.
Got to be a Wimbledon final, honestly. I've always said I want to go there. And I think I might be a little bit late to watch Roger in action, so hopefully he can make it next year and I can finally get a ticket. But yeah, it's on the bucket list to do. I always said Monaco Grand Prix I did this year.
Yes,
so
that would be up there for me as well.
Wimbledon final, I think, for sure. And then move on to stateside NFL final. I think Dolphins taking on
Patriots.
Patriots would be a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one, the Monaco Grand Prix. What, did it live up to expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in all honesty, I don't think it's the greatest race to watch, but the atmosphere around it, you know, all the celebs pulling in there, the Mark Archers of this world, those type of things. So, and you know, Monte Carlo being the place that it is, yeah, absolutely. Highly recommended.
For you, Arch, you've done the most. Is there anyone that you've not done?
I'm trying to think. I think you need to do one thing. Yeah, I wasn't planning to. I'd never been to a World Cup football match until I decided 2 days before the final this year to go to the final. And that kind of ticked a big box for me. But that was the one missing piece.
Have you ever done a World Series?
I haven't been to a World Series. I've been to lots of baseball matches. But World Series tickets are tough to get. And again, you want to sort of be, if you're living in the US, you want your town to go for. But they're incredibly tough tickets to get, a World Series ticket. I mean, I'd probably rather go to, if I had the choice, I'd rather go to an NBA Final 7 series than a baseball Final 7 series.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
Of preference, but either are great.
Well, that's filled a nice 10-minute conversation that has. Listen, a big thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in. It has just ticked around to 5:59 on your Saturday evening. That is it from the grill. The big headlines from the day. England have won the opening test against India, a 31-run victory over them. That will be, what it has done is it's set ourselves up for what will be a fantastic series. Best of five, England 1-0 up on that one. WGC Bridgestone Invitational, you are heading home, I'm sure, Carl, sitting on your sofa to watch all of that. It is moving Saturday. Got a feeling for anyone from what you've seen thus far?
Yeah, I think at the moment, I think Tommy Fleetwood's looking in fine form, and I think it's just a matter of time before he gets that big W behind his name. And for him, I hope it's this weekend. As I said, he's looking in fine form. And then if Rory can just get the flat blade working, he will definitely be in contention come Sunday.
He's just got to sack his caddy first before that happens. Carl Van Roosevelt, big thank you to you, my man. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. And enjoy the week. A lot of good sport to look forward to. And of course, the Premier League starting on Friday night next week. So go Man U.
Yeah, cannot wait for that as well. Mark Archer, a big thank you to you, my friend. It has been a successful day for you thus far. The Crusaders are super rugby champions once again.
Yeah, 9 times champions back to back. It's they'll be partying on in the Deep Bowers in Christchurch there celebrating a ninth Super Rugby victory. First one they've won at home, I think, in 10 years. It's been a long time since they haven't been, they had to go to South Africa last year and win it. So good to do, have a victory in front of your own fans. But I will see you tomorrow night, Chris. Sports tonight, 7 o'clock. I'm not sure what we're talking about, but there'll be live
Community
live
Shield.
Golf. There'll be live football. Community Shield will be on during the show.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
So lots of live football and all things to look forward to. So I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yes, looking forward to that. Big thank you, as always, to each and every one of you, to Carl, to Mark, to Benji and to Isa for keeping us on the airwaves this evening as well. And a big thank you to you guys. I am off now to watch some championship football. Yes, the football season is back. Looking forward to watching a couple of games this evening. We will be back from 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. For now, good night.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.